She's winding up. She's getting to second, but Pride of Jenny at the 200. My goodness, 15 in front. Declan Bates goes for the whip, riding a ride out. There's no need. This is a demolition job. Pride of Jenny in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. My, oh, my.
G'day, listeners. Thursday afternoon. That means Triple J Racing Weekly is back. It'll go on the airwaves on Spotify on Friday morning. You guys are probably listening on Friday, but mate, exciting times ahead. I'm joined by Bryce Parker. How you going up there, mate? And how was your weekend?
Yeah, good. Thanks, mate. All going well. Yeah, lovely weekend. And we were just saying before, got to blow our own trumpets, but ticking along all right, mate. I think our multis are going along quite nicely. So I've got a few multis for us this week. I never used to be a multi man, but I'm getting into them now. Once you hit a few, you're on.
Oh, exactly right. And you get those sort of short value multis. Like you said on the weekend, you had Dawn Service and Bulba still both to place. Dawn Service absolutely bolted in. But yeah, that was a nice little multi. And as you said, I think we had a good couple of results on the weekend. And very unlucky not to get that Quinella in race one with Prez running third. I think your selection, Monte Kate, ran second. We got the favourite beat, mate, but there was a little bit of on-speed bias there in the first, and Silent Sar got the win. But what did you spend your multi-winnings on, mate? You buy the misses anything special?
No, I haven't. It's up to this week, I think. Straight into this week, isn't it?
Exactly right. Double down. Well, I had a pretty good weekend too, mate. I went out to Cowra, celebrate one of our Triple J Racing owners' 60th. Had plenty of beers out there, and I was really enjoying the races up until about race five. But when I got out in the middle of the country where he lives, I wasn't able to watch any of the last couple of races, so I had to recap them the next day. But just looking back on that weekend that was, obviously the run to the Rose was a real interesting one. Storm Boy obviously probably cost himself, you know, jumping again, but just wanted to know what your thoughts there with Storm Boy, and obviously a nice win by Traffic Warden.
Yeah, it was really good win from Traffic Warden. I saw a few people keen on him, and they got it right. Yeah, I think it's just missing the jump, mate. That's what it was, wasn't it? I mean, if you jump clean, he probably wins. But I thought the run was quite good, and yeah, I won't be jumping off him. I think his barrier manners need to improve a bit. I didn't mind the intent to just get him to the front. At the end of the day, I'd rather that than sneak back to last and hit the line. So, yeah, I no really complaints from me with the ride, mate. If you're going to push and try and find the lead and burn them out, I'd rather that, to be honest.
Oh, exactly right. I think there's a couple of ways to look at it for Storm Boy. Obviously, you know, the way that he was ridden, you could suggest that potentially he is just a one-trick pony, but Adam Hieronymus as well, it probably goes to show how much confidence in the horse that he has, because he was still happy to put himself up there. Look, in the end, he was beaten, you know, quite well, but he did a lot of work. And I guess for a horse like him, the Golden Rose is the big one for Storm Boy. But I think, the thing that worries me is I don't know if they can do that again. I think if he's slow out in the Golden Rose, it'll be a high pressure 1400. I don't think they're going to be able to do that again. So they need to try to get his start right. But you know, he is a special horse, and hopefully for the connections with that, you know, stallion, you know, and breeding deal they got going on, that it can get a win in the Golden Rose and move forward. But obviously another really good performance on the weekend was Growing Empire in the Poseidon Stakes. That last furlong, mate, how good was that when Mark Zara clicked him up a little bit? Just that was really impressive, wasn't it?
Yeah, huge future. I was a bit surprised by the drift. I thought it was actually going to get shorter on race day, and geez, it defied the drift, didn't it ever? It was as good of a win as you want to see. I think it's going to measure up in some really hot races. I was really impressed by it, mate. I think it's a really good horse.
I could not believe it. I was driving and it's 5 to 6 minutes before the race, $2.20. I was like, fuck, I'm going again here. I've got to get on again. This is ridiculous. And then I was sort of cutting in and out of the race. But yeah, the last furlong, that was a really nice horse. And obviously, I'm unsure if he's in there at the moment, but I'm sure he's going to be Yulong's Everest horse, which is going to be really exciting. Have you got a horse to follow out of the weekend, or listeners to slap into their black book and look at the next start?
I think we just spoke about him, mate. I think maybe just backing him to win a group one is probably not a bad shout, which I know Sportsbet do disgusting unders for them. But yeah, I think he'll win one. And that's the horse I've really keen to stick with now. I know you've been with him for a while since the start, but yeah, mate, I'll be backing him every run he's got for the next 6 or 7 until he turns into Vaughan Declare. So
I love it when you get these horses that the riders that are sticking with them, have that arrogance. You know, like I don't think he's been really tested this horse, apart from probably his debut performance. But you know, Zara on the weekend was happy to wait for those horses to come up alongside. Knew they were coming, clicked him up. And that last furlong was super special. Horse to follow for me, mate, actually comes out of that Storm Boy race, the run to the Rose, linebacker trained by John O'Shea. He was first up in that run to the Rose on the weekend. Like a couple of those other horses were obviously second up, but linebacker's obviously heading towards the Golden Rose as well in a fortnight's time. But he had the third fastest last 400 and second fastest last 200 of the entire meeting. Rattled home in 11.08 seconds that last furlong. And you just look back to last preparation. He won his maiden by 4 lengths at Hawkesbury. Then he won the Group 3 Balliol, beating home Anode and Broadsiding. Broadsiding since that race has won the Listed Fernhill, Group 1 Champagne, Group 2 Sire's Produce, and the Group 1 JJ Atkins. He can't get better form than that. He's come in and put a slashing first up performance on the board, and now he's 2 weeks into the Golden Rose over the 1400 metres. I'm going to back him for the Golden Rose. I don't think I'm going to go away. I think that Storm Boy's got its concerns. And yeah, hopefully we can get a good price about linebacker in the Golden Rose. Did you have any opinion of his first up performance?
Yeah, superb. As you said, yeah, you described it perfectly, mate. The form line's unreal. Thought the run was really good. Yeah, I'm keen to stick with him as well. He was an eye catcher for sure.
Another horse I wanted to mention on the weekend was Chris Waller's Unusual Legacy. Just going through the figures out of a lot of the races on punting form, he had the fifth fastest last 400 of the meeting, and he was only second up on the weekend over the 1800 metres. So I think that he might have a little bit of staying potential, this horse. And I know that he won the race, so and he won the race at short odds, and he should have won the race. But I'm just saying it was a really good performance sectionally, and I think that you know he's one that we can keep following, probably third, fourth, then fifth up this preparation as he gets out and trip. But mate, let's just get straight into it. Obviously, we've got selections here at Randwick and also Caulfield on the weekend. And you've got a runner for listeners nice and early on the weekend tomorrow at Newcastle. Great meeting out there tomorrow at Newcastle. But you like one in the first race, which is an 1850 meter class one. What have you got there?
Yeah, it's a good meeting, mate. Three features. I've just done the write-ups for them. Back a winner. First race of the day. Yeah, it could be a sure thing. City Gold ready. It's a 64 rater. There's nothing even remotely near this. Yeah, it's into $4. So I think it should start clear favourite. Two queries, mate. Probably one is second up with the imports, or just not even import, but just a NZ rater. Just being a bit flat potentially, but he jumps up in trip. If you look through his New Zealand form, he tackled a Group One and he was 4.5 lengths off Orchestral. He's bumped into Orchestral 3 times. He was beaten a few times by decent margins, but yeah, mate, he's in a very, very, very winnable race here. And Dylan Gibbons aboard. If you watch his last start, he was quite good behind Northern Miners, who was dead set flying and has won again since. And he looked under pressure early, and then he made good ground the last sort of 100 metres and passed the line. He was good. But yeah, up in trip, mate, and anything close to his efforts behind Orchestral, and he'll brain this lot. So I think $4 is fair enough. I know there's a few on speeders in this. Lady Gold will roll forward with a lightweight, and Blazing Sword's ready to win. So yeah, the field's okay, but I just thought with a 64 rater here, there's nothing even above 60. It's in incredibly well placed, and if the rising trip suits and Gibbon sticks for the first up look, and if that was at Newcastle as well, I think it could be a sure thing.
There's no better combination than Bryce Parker and Dylan Gibbons. You're a massive fan, but
It's just his ROI with me as well, mate. Like I said to one of my mates, I said, dead set, I honestly reckon my win percentage with him aboard's 80 or 90%. Every time I pick a runner that I'm keen on and he's steering, I've just had so much success. It's almost 9 out of 10 times I tip him, I win. And it's not saying that this is gonna win, but yeah, mate, I've had unbelievable success backing him, and He's probably the only jockey I've never really seen a steer and gone, geez, he could have done that better. It's just seemed to always have every chance. So he's been on holiday, so hopefully he's not had too many pina coladas away and the head's in the right space. But look, he was aboard first up, mate, and he's sticking, and that says enough for me. And Northern Eyes goes around in a hard race and he's won again since. So yeah, I think yeah, that 4 length loss to Orchestral, if he brings that to this bunch, he'll win by 5 or 6 lengths.
Hopefully he comes back from holidays in better shape than I usually do, because I come back a couple of kilos heavier and never lose it. But anyway, I've only done the later races at Newcastle tomorrow, but I've gone through the form at Randwick and Caulfield, and Randwick on the weekend. At the moment, it's a good four. The weather looks pretty good. Maybe a little bit of wind, but you can't predict wind, so that'll just have to be played out on the day. The rail was out 6 meters a fortnight ago. Goes back to true today, so it certainly opens it right up. And we predicted on pace last time with 6 meters. I think it'll be very fair on Saturday, and I'm assuming you think it'll be the same.
Yeah, I think it'll be fair, mate. I know I've been on pace the last, however many weeks, but I think it'll play fair. I assume punters want it to play fair because Autumn Glow and Fangirl go around, and if it's a monorail, then you're in strife. So, and Private Eye will be crying before the gates open. So, yeah, it's you want the track to be playing somewhat fair, but I think it will, mate. What about you?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's going to be a fair meeting. And yeah, when the rail's out 6 meters back to true, it sort of evens it up, and there's a lot of fresh grass there. And Randwick with a true rail on a dry deck, it's one of the fairer tracks in definitely the state, but even the country. So looking forward to it. Race one's the Midway, benchmark 72 over the mile, and you like one here. So is it that you like the favourite, mate, or are you going around El Castillo?
Yeah, I think with midways you can usually find value, but I thought El Costello was brilliant fresh. I was keen on him and another runner when he resumed, and the other runner got scratched. But mate, his resume is good. He's got a second to broadsiding, so that's as good a form as you can ask for. And first up with 61.5, he looked Gornski, and then he got off the canvas and won. But strips fitter, meets a reasonable midway, and any improvement off his first up run, he should take this out. I just think with Timmy Clark aboard and a good draw, he's only going to roll forward and be somewhat on speed. It's really hard to see him going backwards off that first up run, and he drops a sack of weight. I could argue that this race is just not really any harder. So I'm pretty keen to kick him off the day with him, mate. And yeah, that second of broadsiding's obviously outstanding for this. Did you have any thoughts of this one?
I thought you were on the right horse in terms of form lines, and obviously El Castillo, I sort of followed that form into the Group 3 race on the weekend where I backed Monte VB. I thought he was okay. He ran midfield, but that's pretty strong form lines, and these midways, as they're very, very open. So got the right draw. Timmy Clark aboard second up. He just doesn't have a flat run from carrying the big weight, but I'll definitely be aboard El Castillo on the weekend. I think a lot of these other horses are sort of, they're around their mark and getting their opportunity, but El Castillo's a horse progressing. So I'll be with you there. And race four, I like one in the 1400 meter benchmark 78. I really like the way Well Timed's going. Number 10, Well Timed for Kerry Parker and Nashua Willa. He's obviously rock hard fit now and gets out of the 1400 meters fourth up, but he was narrowly beaten fresh in a midway by Bundina and then reversed that result, winning a midway second up, and then went up to the 78 grade last start and just had to make a long sustained run, travelling wide in run. Still got third in a strong race. And then now we've got barrier four, 1400 metres. He proved that he can run 1400 metres last preparation. So I just think he's rock hard fit. He'll jump straight out of the gate, sitting behind the speed. Nashua Willa on these horses that are stalking leaders at the moment, that is just a recipe for success. And I really like the horse, mate. So well timed for me at $4 in race four. Would you be aboard with me there?
Yeah, I think it's a good bet. I think that I'll be backing that in Northern Eyes as well. And I've just touched on the Newcastle tip and race one, actually, Let's Go Bros second out of that same race. So maybe see how that goes in the midway. But yeah, I think yours and Northern Eyes, maybe a Quinella. I mean, it's won four straight now and it'll land on the speed. And yeah, if our Kibo bolts in race one, then it'll only boost the form. So it's a good, yeah, it's a handy race, mate. I do like Well Timed, and I do like Northern Eyes as well. I think we almost got the Mammoth Quinella the other last weekend, so maybe we could get it here.
Yeah, that was really, really close on the weekend, and I did have a couple of dollars on that, so I'll have to go well-timed in Northern Eyes there. Race 5, 2,000 meter Kingston Town Stakes. You've got one for listeners here. Who do you like?
Yeah, it's a winnable race. I think jury's out with a few of these. I've got I don't know where Zardozzi is going to run yet. I'm not too sure what she's going to do. I thought she was pretty flat last run, but she's definitely good enough to take this out. I think this is a really, really winnable affair. So, yeah, I'll see where she goes, mate. But I just can't forget her sort of three efforts last prep, apart from one poor run. And I think if she finds that, she'll probably take this out. The import for the Waterhouse Stables going great guns. And Seal Wolf, I'm not too sure how it's pronounced, but that's also flying. But yeah, I think Zardozzi's it's a good each way go. Don't know if K-Mac boosts its chances for me, but yeah, I think she's probably worth a market look, mate. If the money comes, I reckon I'll get aboard.
Yeah, well, she was obviously really disappointing second up at a short quote. But she's now third up out of 2,000 meters if she does race here, and she has got a lot of good form on heavy trucks. So that's probably the concern, and might be the reason why she's not as effective this time around. But each way price about her third up in a race like this, I thought was the go. But it's a pretty strong race, a lot of up and coming horses. I like one in the same colours in the race after 1,400 meter Bill Ritchie. The main man, Tommy Kitten, he's obviously coming off a really nice win, fresh first up in his first run as a gelding. By design, they've kept him fresh for the 1,400 metres here with an eye on the Epsom in 2 weeks' time, which is over the mile. He had a beautiful trial in between runs. I think he's going really well. I can only see him fitter and stronger here. I think he's going to be hard to hold out. There's plenty of tempo in this race, and I just think there's a lot more to come from this horse. And as I said, he'll improve second up, and I think he's obviously the type of horse. He's an absolute unit. If you see him in the flesh, he's an absolute unit, and you don't want to be in barriers 1 and 4. You want to be on the outside. So with speed and drawing wide, being in the running line, I think he'll be hard to hold out. And obviously J Mac's the main man. So I like Tommy Kitten there, mate. Who did you like in that race?
Funnily enough, one of my best mates, Aaron, shout out to him because he likes listening to this podcast. He said there's a kitten that lived next door to him and it would remind him every weekend to back Tom Kitten. And he said he just kept losing money and money and money. He'd see the kitten in the morning and he'd remember to back it. So I sent him a message of that first up win. I said, "You're on. Please tell me you're on."
I wonder how many kittens there are around Australia named
And he
Tom.
was you'll be on. I'm sure you'll be on. So yeah, I agree with you. I think it was backed as if it was unbeatable fresh. I was on it as well. He's got 2 mil prize money now, and he's come of age. I think he's ready to go to higher heights. Roots is probably not a bad knockout chance, but that might run at Newcastle. And other than that, mate, the race really falls apart. Amenable's, it's 2 from 16. I know a lot of people get keen on it often, and it's got a good finale, but it races without a lot of luck. And I think its D-Day was probably last year. So, Fearson's the other one that can probably land on speed and run well. But I'm right with you, mate. I think the kitten's clear one to beat.
Yeah, and I think with horses like Tom Kitten, obviously, they're not wound up to run best first up in a preparation. When the horse has won that much prize money, he's a big unit. He can cover ground. He's obviously raced out to the 2,000, 2,400 metres last prep. So we can expect him to get fitter and stronger each race early in the preparation. And I think he's extremely well placed on Saturday. So I'll be having a decent bet at the $3.50. Race 7's the Daly T Rose Stakes for the fillies, and you like one here. Are you sticking with a favourite, Autumn Glow, or you're gonna go a bit outside?
Yeah, I want to see how the track plays, just so it's not a monorail. But I think it's just for the sake of sticking with it, isn't it? And I mean, the form line, after we saw what Dawn Service did last week, and I do think Wanneroo is a really good tip in Victoria. So it's untapped. It's the one on the up, and we don't know the ceiling yet. I don't think it's an absolute sure thing because you got Manal in this, you got Amina. Erno's Cube, like it's a good race. It's not a gimme race, but yeah, I just reckon it'll roll them, mate. I've just got a feeling it'll sit off them and it'll be Senorita and yeah, J Mac aboard. I think it's $1.90 is more than fair. After seeing what Dawn Service did and the fact that it absolutely brained it first up on debut, yeah, scary to see how good it can be. Very good test for it, though. I really do think Manal is a absolute gun and a really talented filly. So good field, mate. But yeah, $1.95 Autumn Glow. I probably expected $1.60, $1.70. So I do think it's a bet. It's going to be in our multi for the week. So yeah, we want it to win. Are you sticking with it?
Oh, I think it's impossible to go around that horse at the moment,
Yeah.
especially like you said, the Dawn Service win on the weekend really franked the form. And as I said, sort of in one of the podcasts recently, the horses win that day against Dawn Service on debut. It didn't know what it didn't honestly. She didn't know what she was doing. Her running leg was changing down the straight, all sorts of things. She improved a little bit there second up, but she's the type of filly that every single race start, she's going to take more out of it, get better as she gets more experience and natural ability. J Mac on running line horse. You couldn't go around her. Obviously, I had a big opinion of that Erno's Cube first up run, and I tipped listeners into putting that into the black book. And I'm going to have a couple of dollars, $2.50 place Erno's Cube. I'll be all over that. And I probably will have a small spec to potentially cause an upset. But at the end of the day, the form lines are there for Autumn Glow. Lazura is a nice horse. Amina and Manala coming out of the right lead-up races. But Autumn Glow and Erno's Cube are the two I'm looking at, mate. But really excited about the race. I'm really
Sorry,
keen to.
one other thing I'll add. Sorry, mate. One other thing I'll say is I did put in the write-up of the preview, and I did say that it probably does need to do everything right in saying that. It probably Autumn Glow will need a fair track. It can't really afford to be too green because if it gets too far back and does anything wrong, it'll probably lose this. Like this is too good of a race for it to do anything wrong. So I think it does need to be more switched on than it was on its debut, which it should be. It's at start three now, but yeah, if it does anything wrong, I think it can definitely get beaten. That being said, if it puts it all together, I can't see them beating it.
100% has to step up. There's these two wins put the horse now into a harder race. This is a big step up, and the horses are rock hard fit, and a lot of them have been sort of prepped up to target a race like this, so they're all going to be ready to go on the weekend. And yeah, horses like that do things wrong in run like her at that price, it is a little bit of a concern. Race 9 is the shorts. It's basically the Concord from a fortnight ago being raced again. And I'm really keen to have a little double on Aft Cabin here, $10 and $2.90. Reason is, the three place getters in that Concord race I'm talking about all were rails in run. Way to the Stars led the race. The winner of the race, I Am Me, was leaders back behind Way to the Stars. Bella Nipotina was behind I Am Me, third defence. Gaps just opened up for them. It was a 6 metre rail that day. That was the place to be. They got the runs. As I said, even Way to the Stars running third. Aft Cabin was obviously luckless in that race. And we're getting double the price this time around. The rail goes back to true. And the other thing I see here, mate, is an absolute stack of speed. I don't care what anyone says. You can see what's happening with the Coal Crusher in the race. Set a bit of genuine tempo there with Dragonstone from the same stable in behind. Lady of Camelot's there. Way to the Stars now, Cobus, and a roll forward. So Randwick True Rail, a lot of speed, 1100 meter race. I think these runners in the running line out the back will have their chance. And as I said, I just want to stick with my word last week of following Aft Cabin out of that race. And we got the right price now. We've got the right speed. And I think this horse is trying to be the Godolphin runner in the Everest. So we'll see how we go. But what a race this is, mate. Oh, the other one I wanted to mention, Bandy's Boy. I know he's $101 here, but I thought he finished pretty good last start in the Concord. And at $101.18, I could put him into trifectas and exotics. What were your thoughts on that race?
Yeah, I'll probably leave this to the keeper. I think I Am can get beaten. It's probably short enough. 270s. It's probably untouchable for me, but yeah, I couldn't really pinpoint anything in this, mate. I do think that Lady of Camelot will improve. I know that she's got a lot of talent, and Morning to Glory that day at the Valley just stole the race. I'm not convinced it was the best horse in the race, but stole it over 1,000. So Yeah, I think Lady of Camelot will improve. Private Eyes does, yeah, over this track and trip is 1 out of 1 and 2 out of 3 over this trip. And we know it's a good horse. It's 11 from 36. So it is a good race, mate. It's probably just depends on how much all of these will improve, given most of them raced each other recently. And yeah, Bandy's boy was quite good. You're right, 101 looks pretty steep.
Absolutely. The one thing I will mention though here is I just talked up IME and those getting the right run in the race, and IME's drawn to get the exact same run this time around. Barrier 2 obviously will roll forward. J Mac will let those Lady of Camelots and that come across from out wide, but he'll try and hold that second defence again. And if he gets that position, he's going to be extremely hard to hold out again. But what a race that is, mate. We'll know some more Everest answers at the back end of that. Mate, that'll do us for Randwick. We'll head down to Victoria now. Caulfield, it's a good four. The rail's out 6 meters. So we go true at Randwick to 6 meters at Caulfield. There's a bit of soft deck ex expectations with rain predicted tomorrow. Any sort of thoughts on the track? Are you thinking leaders are going to get away with it at Caulfield, or rain might affect them and they'll come down the center of the track?
Yeah, a bit hard to say. Probably one of those ones. Tackle on race day, see how much rain's there, and go from there. They might be fan off the rail. Have to probably see.
Yep, absolutely. Well, mate, I've got the first tip at Caulfield in race 6. I'm 1100 meters benchmark 100. I'm pretty keen on commemorative here, $4. Jamie Carr rides. I just think she's really well weighted here, only carrying the 54.5 kilos. She's another sort of bigger style filly. She'll be quite happy to carry the 54.5 kilos. And she's just second up here with a bit of fitness edge on some of the key rivals who were first up. She likes the wet tracks. There's a lot of speed on paper. Again, for the same reasons I like Tom Kitten drawn wide when they're these bigger horses that need that little bit of galloping room. She'll be in the running line from that wider draw. And hopefully Jamie Carr can get a result on this horse. She's been under a bit of pressure recently. So commemorative for me in race 6. Did you have an opinion there?
Yeah, I'll be on it as well. Yeah, if Jimmy stars $5, and yeah, it was hard to catch last prep. I think commemorative at 390 is pretty fair. It's a big drift, but that win over Springley two back, it reads super now. So yeah, it's definitely the one to beat, mate. Okay.
Beautiful. Race 7 is the 2000 meter Catnach Jewellers Foundation Cup. And you like a horse here, and I'm really interested to hear who it is.
Yeah, this race is hard. I found it quite tricky because Q Tempesta and St. George were both really with the former, but I do think St. George was just so unlucky. I watched it about 4 or 5 times, the race fully, and I think I'm gonna go with St. George. I know Barrier 2 could be sticky. Gotten out of form car, but yeah, it was really, really unlucky in the run. And I just think if with a bit more luck, it's really going to give this a shake. Immediacy is the one I'm worried about. A few big wins last prep, not far for Riff Rocket, rest in peace. And the form around Pericles reads well, so I think that'll be the hardest to beat. But yeah, I think the favorite's probably well priced now at 420 with 54 kegs. It was ultimately jogging to the line and only lost by 2 lengths to Rise at Dawn, who's airborne. I think that those three, Immediacy, Q Tempesta, and St. George, and then I think there's a decent gap to the rest. I reckon it falls apart after that. Just fine, maybe if it's on speed. But yeah, it's a winnable race. Who do you think in this one, mate?
I've still got a lot of work to do in that race. I had a good look at it and I was like, geez, this is open, and it's gonna be one of those races on the weekend that I'm not gonna be pushing anyone into real sharply. But for that horse there, mate, St. George, they set that horse up for failure when they named it. There's absolutely no ticker about the St. George Illawarra Dragons, and hopefully this horse has got a bigger heart, and more ambition for your sake. But in saying that, that was a good first up run in Australia, obviously behind that Rise of Dawn. That's really good form, as you mentioned. Race 8, mate, is the Underwood Stakes. Obviously, Pericles' win last start there at Moonee Valley was honestly just giving money away. It was absolutely outrageous that they gave $1.90, $2 for that. But Obviously, this was the sort of the target third up in the preparation, and I think everything's gone right so far. I do think the horse is maybe a little bit under what he should be. Looking at the opposition, there's some really nice horses in this race, but I just think he's going really good. Blake Shinn's now had him all preparation. It's basically his horse. I think that, Barrier 11. But looking at the map, when I first looked at it and saw Barrier 11, I thought, oh, that might be a little bit tricky. But there's not too much speed drawn inside him, and I think he'll be able to roll forward and park up maybe third pair the fence. I mean, sorry, third pair running line, which will allow him to come down the center of the track. And obviously, the horses are, pretty good on good, soft or heavy. And Blake Shinnebord, I really like Pericles, mate. Are you thinking the same? Or you mentioned Bow and Declare before. Surely you're giving it none here.
It's a tricky race. I'm not sure. I'll probably steer clear. I think the favorite's hard to beat. You've got a deadly import there in second line of betting. It's a harder race here. Well, as you said, mate, we were super keen on it last start and it was so well placed. This is a decent step up in depth, but yeah, I think it's still the one to beat for sure.
Beautiful, mate. And you briefly mentioned before your selection in race nine, which is the 1400 meter Guinea Caulfield Gillies Prelude. And Wanneroos, Gay Waterhouse comes down to Melbourne, Barrier One. Obviously, you like that horse here. You're really keen, mate.
Yeah, 420. Well, I think that's huge. I'd be really shocked if this didn't run at least top three. We're gonna have this in our multi of the week, but 420 seems massive. I know you gave it a decent tip when it won second up by 2 lengths, first up by 2 lengths. I know they were on soft tracks, but look at the form. It's returned and it's second to Autumn Glow, who's could find itself in an Everest. And if Autumn Glow wins earlier on in the day, about an hour and a half prior, then I'll be getting really stuck into Wanneroo. I'm really shocked 420 is on offer. Blake Shinn, Barrier One, all of these runners. I think this is another case of the evaporate race we had the other day. All of these runners, Angel Capital, Boostow, Private Life, I'm a bit worried about, but most of these have those sort of Victorian form lines that have met each other. And I have a feeling Wanneroo could lead this and just win with absolute ease. It's first look at the track and it's on a drift, but I don't know, mate. I'm a bit shocked about that force. There's no Autumn Glow here, and I doubt any of these would get 2 lengths within it, to be honest.
Well, I couldn't agree more. The only thing for me was, and it sometimes it doesn't matter with these Waterhouse runners, is Blake Shinnebord. Like, he'll be out in front. That horse will be no doubt leading this race, and probably will have the ability to move to the center of the track if it needs to. But I just wanted to wait and see what happens with the track in terms of the rain, how wet it is, and how far off the fence they have to come. But this could be another one of these dawn services. Go down there. They're a little bit disrespected in the market from taking the New South Wales form lines down to Victoria. And as you said, if this is $4.50 late in the day there on Saturday still, and Blake Shinn's having a good day and on speed horses aren't really disadvantaged, I'll be all over it because I've got a massive opinion of the horse, as do you. So yeah, I'm keen on Wanneroo too, mate. But this is the big moment of the day. You mentioned that you got a multi for listeners and you struck well last week. So what's the Bryce Parker multi this week?
Yeah, we've scored the last two, so I've got to keep them rolling now. And no, they've been sort of over $3, so we'll aim to keep it that way. I've gone with three runners, mate, but I've got a third in there for a bit of a laugh. Sorry, a fourth just for a bit of an extended one. But the three I'm going to go, Wanneroo place at $1.80. It just seems free money. Newcastle race one tomorrow. City Gold ready to kick things off. And then we'll have the win bet and we'll just go Autumn Glow. I know it's a little bit risky, but I like having one leg as a win bet. And if I'm finding something on the weekend, I'm probably most confident in running well for an odds on quote. I think it's Autumn Glow.
Well,
Mate, that's a pretty good multi.
that's a great multi, mate. And I'm going to go the Godolphin multi, which is going to be old Tommy Kitten place, Aft Cabin place into commemorative place. And if you've still got your nuts, which Tom Kitten doesn't, I'm going to go Tom Kitten win into those other two to place. I think that James Cummings is going to get back on the scene this weekend and have a really good win. So, mate, really looking forward to that. In terms of Triple J racing runners, we've got Sunrise accepted to race at Nowra on Sunday. She's really well placed down there. She's pretty short in the market, but if we do opt to race there, I think that, Blake Spriggs is remaining aboard and going down there to ride her for us. I think that she'll be pretty hard to beat down there, but we'd love to get a result with her. Otherwise, we'll hold her back till next Saturday. And all things going well, we should have a nice filly racing next Saturday at Kembla Grange as well, butterfly style. Purchased her from Victoria with Mitch Beer as well, and she had an exceptional trial first up when we thought she was carrying a few extra kilos like I do leading into it, and beat a horse that won on debut at Goulburn by 3.5 lengths. So I think butterfly style is one we can follow as well. They're two nice horses, and we should have a couple of other runners next weekend in the Tab Highway with Duke Calzini and Rajnish to the Dubbo Cup. So there's a bit happening there, and we do have some shares available still in our Zusane Gelding, 2-year-old fella who's just been named Zoo Got Me. Hopefully he's half as good, at least half as good as Zoo Got You, and we'll be really happy with that. And the other exciting thing is, mate, on Monday morning, it's the first 2-year-old trials of the new season. So I noticed Gay Waterhouse and the team have 18 or 19 runners there, and every other stable's just got a handful, but that's expected, and we'll be able to see who the new 2-year-old horses are to follow moving forward. Gonna be looking forward to following that. Mate, thanks for joining again. Hope you have a good weekend, and hopefully you get that multi home.
Thanks, fella. Appreciate it. Good luck, everyone.
Cheers, mate.